The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5. We left off there in verse 21. Let's read that together. We're starting in verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives. Why do wives have to go first? Because ladies go first. That's why. The Lord's such a gentleman that he decided to talk to you ladies first. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Man, that's some rough words there to say, isn't it? Can't even say that S word. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body, meaning not you guys, but Jesus. Therefore, because of what I just said, Paul says, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in a few things. Wait, is that, what's that word? All or everything. And all in the Greek means? Well, wait a minute, Lord, how about if he's a jerk? What if he absolutely doesn't know anything about nothing? You shouldn't have married him. Should have got to know him a little better. And everything. That's tough sometimes. That's tough. Even when, what? You're married to a non-believer? God says not to do that. Probably I would tell you not to do that. Others would tell you not to do that. And what do? You do it anyway. Oh, because he's so beautiful and he's so kind. He'll get the Lord. Honest. Then once he's got that ring, not so much. And you have trouble for the rest of your life. Unless God loves you enough, which he does, to then save him. But then you're praying. It's hard to submit to a non-Christian. It's hard enough to submit to us anyway, us guys, because you know, right? But God put us there. But the more that you drive, you can't lead, I guess you can, but the more that you influence his life with Jesus, the more that you get him turned on for Jesus and the Word of God, the better he is as a husband. That's just the facts of it. So it's difficult, you ladies. Difficult. It'd probably be okay if you married to Billy Graham, but have you ever talked to Ruth? She still had problems. And so look, I'm not saying it's an easy thing. I look here and I go, what? In everything, Lord? Everything? And we're going to look at this. We're going to take this apart a bit today and look at this in everything. And so this morning, I've entitled this message, Cheerleading Wives, Submitting to One Another in the Fear of Our God. You know, you ladies, you're cheerleaders. That's why we married you. I don't think any man would ever marry a woman that just constantly, you know, told him he wasn't worth anything. There might be a few, but very far and few. You know, I married my wife because, man, she cheered me on about everything. Everything. I don't care what I did. Even if I blew it, she would go, yeah, but you blew it great, honey. You did a great job. That's all we want. Basically, that's all we want. Our major thing is for our wives to respect us, and that's a tough thing for you to do because we have that original sin going on, and it's just tough for wives to respect. Wives are easy. They love. I mean, lovey, love, that's your language, wives. That's what you do good, the best. You love to love. Guys, not so much. Kind of tough to really do that love thing. And so God knew that what we needed, that thing that we need the most, is respect and cheerleading. Because in that cheerleading, you have respect. And then, of course, we're going to get to you guys next week about loving your wives as Christ loved us. How did he love us? Anyone know how he loved us? Anyone? He died. Yeah, unto death. He died. So you need to die to your wife, man. You need to die to yourself. It convicts my own self. I'm like, man. And so, that's basically all we need. We don't need new clothes, new shoes. You know, all we need is someone to cheer us on. Man, I'm telling you the truth, especially as we get a little older. We just want someone in our corner that goes, hey, babe, you're awesome. You're good. That's really all we need. I don't need new clothes, new cars. I don't need any of that. I just need my woman to tell me that I do a good job, even sometimes when I don't. Good job. Good job. What I don't need, what we don't need as men, is someone that's constantly tell us why we're failing and what we're failing from. Now, there are those times that I know you wives, you know, need to have a sit down with us. Honey, I've asked you to cut the lawn for the past year. So what I've done, I've bought some goats. You know, I get that, okay? You know, it's that attaboy, cheerleader. You know, you are our completer. Now, we know Jesus, of course, is ultimate. But in the scriptures, the whole thing, in the original language, helpmate, completer. You're helping, you're cheering. As I was studying this week, I came across this story, and it's about two Christian couples. They're at a retreat, a marriage retreat, and this guy gets up, and he's like, man, you know, when I got married, she was my cheerleader, and that's why I married her, because she was just all about me, and hey, you can do it, you can do it. And we were just like, you know, wow, we're in love. And 10 years later, and she's like, oh, you know, at the retreat going, oh, look at my husband brag on me. And then he said, but 10 years later, not so much. And she went, oh, what are you going to do? She goes out in the woods, she prays. Now, this is important, and I'll cover it in my message. She says this, Lord, but if I don't stay on them, and I'm telling you, this is every marriage. It's my marriage. It's every marriage. But Lord, for you ladies, but Lord, if I don't stay on them, nothing will get done. And the Lord goes, no, that's my job. You be his cheerleader. You love him like you're so good at. You respect him. Cheerlead him. I'll take care of the motivation. I'll take care of him. Because most of the time, this article says, when there's a real heavy, drippy faucet, you guys know what that means, amen? A nagging, drippy faucet, it's better to live on a corner of the roof, the Bible says. Now look, if you're on the corner of the roof, if you roll in your sleep, you're done. Done. The Bible also says it's better to stay in the middle of the desert. It didn't say stay on the edge of the desert. Notice that it says it's better to be in the middle of the desert where there's nothing, there's no way out. And so that whole thing is something that, ladies, you do because you don't trust the Lord. You don't think the Lord can move that old body around anymore. You don't think he can, you know, that old guy in the bed, if he can get him up and get him going. You don't believe and trust that the Lord can do that. You used to. Now, the story says that she started, God said, that's my job. So she started, even though she didn't want to, she started cheerleading, and he started coming around. He goes, and today, it's great. Now, he's a little older, and there's a couple things that he still needs to be reminded of, you know, but it's much better, much better. Cheerleading. Read this. It's a good story, and it's funny, and I just think it's just so apropos for our teaching this morning. Great is the day, wives, when you realize that ever since the Garden of Eden, males have been missing something. You say to me, oh, we know that, because we are. You see, when Adam went to sleep in the garden, God took his rib from his side. I believe, and when you read that in the Hebrew about taking the rib from you all, or from us to give to you all, there's something there. There was something in that rib, mystically, something there that God took from us to give to you that we don't have anymore. We just don't have it. And you ladies can fill in the blank in what that is. But I'm sure you can make a big list of what that is. our emotions, the whole thing about the way that you think with your brain. It's just, wow. God is the only one that can figure all that out. It's amazing. That's part of being our helpmate, because we don't think like that, but you do. Many times, Carla, and you can ask my family, her eyes start blinking real fast, and I know that brain is cooking. And then she'll come up with something, and I go, wow, that was amazing. You do. So we need to love our wives, because they're like human supercomputers. We don't think like they do. And so many times when we ask their advice, it keeps us out of trouble. They're much better at that kind of thing. There was a man that followed God in every which way, loved the Lord. To explain this a little bit, what I'm saying. And so the Lord came and said, hey, look, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Kind of like what Solomon did. So he said, well, Lord, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. I just love, I've heard about, but I can't sail. It makes me sick. I can't fly. It makes me sick. I don't know how. Could you get a highway from Frisco to the islands? Well, I don't know. Here's the problem. I got to get a lot of men thinking to build it. And then there's a lot of concrete. You know, China's got a lot of that stuff. I can, but is there anything else that you would want? The guy thought a bit, and he said, yes, there is. Tell me the mind of a woman. He said, 2-lane or 4-lane? So, you know, God made you all, and it's an awesome thing. So you see, Adam went to sleep in the garden, took a rib from his side, and from it fashioned a woman, or the completer, the Bible says, in Hebrew, of the man. You know that movie, you complete me. Well, you know what? He spoke scripture. You complete me. So why doesn't your husband communicate more freely? Why doesn't he feel things more deeply? I believe it all stems from the fact that he's missing your rib. His rib, actually, it's your rib now. There was something in that rib. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was something that we needed. Life lesson number one, he's missing the part that was given to you. He's missing the part that was given to you. Okay, he's missing something. We all know that. Right, ladies? It's like, however, I didn't know it was my rib, but I still wanted to communicate. So what do I do? Well, let me answer that question with a statement. So in the Garden of Eden, the first Adam lost something. But there's another Adam, the last Adam. And so complete is the last Adam, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that he is not only portrayed in Scripture. Now get this, please, and write it down if you will. Not only in Scripture, he is portrayed as a male bull, strong, in Numbers 15, but as a red heifer as well, a female cow, a beautiful female cow. In Numbers 19. So, the implication there in the Hebrew is that not only is he the ultimate picture of strength, but he is also the very essence of tenderness. You get that? He is so tender. He brought a whole different set of rules for women when he was on this earth. The feminist movement should really get underneath Jesus and say he was the first one to bring it. Loved. Stood up for. Remember what he said to Judas when Mary was doing her thing, right? Leave her alone. How'd you like God to tell you, leave her alone? Well, matter of fact, he is, isn't he? Look, if your wives are daughters of God, then what does that make God to you? Father-in-law. So you better watch how you deal with those ladies. When I look at my wife, I go, well, she is the daughter of God, and so God is my father-in-law. Oh, he's my father too, but he's also my father-in-law. Uh-oh. That makes a whole different message here, doesn't it? You don't want your father-in-law mad at you. I'll tell you that right now. And so he's both. What am I saying here, gang? Just this. As long as you look to your husband to meet your deepest needs, you'll be frustrated perpetually, which means most of the time. You just will. You'll put pressure on him to be what, well, he can't be. Because, as we now know, he's missing something. He's strong like bull, but not much gentleness. Not much tenderness. It is only Jesus, another life lesson, it's only in Jesus Christ that you will find your full fulfillment. Only in Christ, not your husband, not him. My wife, Carla, she knew this early. She's taught this. She said, if you think he is going to fulfill me, she just started laughing. But she completes me. Oh, you don't even know how she completes me. The problem with that is when I ask her about a lot of different things here at the church and things with her family. What do you think about this and that? Then she gives me this whole, you know, I just want the short version. You ladies like the long version. Yeah. And the way our minds are, logically speaking, we can't take that long version. But I do. And then we find out, we go, oh, we just communicated. I sat and listened, and she told me what to do. In 6 or 7 different kinds of scenarios. That's communication. Communicating. So we're missing something. And ladies, it's only in Jesus Christ that you will truly, truly find your true and complete fulfillment in talking to him, in learning of him, in walking with him daily. You will find the satisfaction in your heart that you're craving that we just can't give. We don't have the capacity to do that. Not to say that we don't need to be kind and we don't need to communicate, but that deep thing there that you guys are really looking for, I call it the ultimate soap opera, that kind of a thing, you know? We just can't provide that, but God can. And so sisters, drink deeply of the last Adam, the perfect one, the perfect husband. He is the perfect husband, you know, Jesus, your Christ, because when you tap into him, and maintain a vital, personal, daily devotion with him, you won't push your husband to be something that he just can't be. You got the rib. He don't. He just can't be that. Now, next week, we're going to talk about us guys living with them with understanding and knowing them and studying them. So we're going to get to you guys. But for you ladies, you see, do you understand that if we just would just obey what God says to do in marriage, we would all have a perfect marriage. I have people come in with problems in their marriage all the time, and I look, what do? I get books and I get different? Well, I have books that, you know, I give to different people. But, and by the way, if you ever come in and I give you this book, guys, that says Saving Your Marriage from Divorce or something like that, it's like fighting for your marriage to get back, you know you're in big trouble. I usually give books like Understanding and things like that. But the best understanding is right here in the Word of God. God tells you how to have a perfect marriage. But do we do that? No, we don't. Trust Him? Are you kidding me? Do you know what He took me through? Do you know 10 years ago? And that's another problem. You ladies got memories like computers. You know, you remember that stuff 20 years ago. We don't even remember. I actually did that? That's messed up. Yeah, you did. Let me tell you else. You know, you ladies could tell all kinds of lies on us, and we believe it because we don't remember nothing. You know? But you ladies remember everything. It's that computer again going off. And so there is that perfect way here in the Scriptures if we just obey it. The problem is we don't obey it. And every time we get off of this thing, either of us, it goes south. And so I said before that you guys are called to be completers, helpmates. Now I've understood that word again to be cheerleader. And so there's a life lesson. Wise, you have the power. You have the power. Power. You do. To motivate your husbands. more than any book, job, or anyone on the face of this earth, you have the power to cheerlead your husband. That's really all we want. We want to know that you're cheerleading us, you're still believing in us. And I've done this message once a long time ago, and there was a couple of ladies that asked me, do you want me to lie? No, you don't have to lie. Just be cheerleading. That's really, as I said before, all that we really want and need. Wives, continue to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength. Cheering your husbands on. Because it is only in Jesus that you will find the answer to the cry of your heart. It's the only place. 23 and 24. So whether we read it. So whether we agree or not, ladies, we see here 23 and 24. It is, wow. If you are a Christian wife, then you are to submit to your husband even as you would submit to the Lord in everything. I read that to Carla last night. She goes, you want me to burn your sandwich? Yeah. Scary thought. It's called trust. Trusting us? No, trusting God. The step of faith. Step of faith. Decide as myself, if we as men would have not done some of those, you know, things that we did in the past. You know, I don't think any woman ever, the very first week and month and year, maybe even, well, maybe a year, but it starts out and saying, I don't trust you, you're no good, and they wouldn't marry you. I used to tell my sons, you've harpooned the dolphin again. Little bitty dolphin, doing nothing, but you harpooned it again. You ladies are so... Man, you're so tender and you're so gentle, and we don't get that, and we hurt you, and there's repercussions of that stuff. And it's hard for you to trust God again, to trust Him again. It's just the way it is. But God would call you to trust again. Trust Him. Because it's only in Jesus that you'll find the answer to the cry of your heart. And so whether we agree or not, the Bible tells us that we need to submit. Church, let the modern liberal society say what it may. God's word has stood the test of time. Lesson number 5, because whenever a wife chooses to be submitted to her husband, to her marriage, then her marriage is on the way to becoming a blessed union that stands the test of time. And oh, yes, by the way, not only is it a tremendous godly example and conviction to the world, the unsaved world, but also her home and the body of Christ. It's just so awesome to see a woman that is, you know, submissive to her husband, the husband's loving her, that perfect kind of thing that's going on, and you just go, wow, man, that is so cool. And it convicts the world, actually. It really does. It's just an awesome thing to see that. Husbands, in turn, we must never forget that as commanded in verse 21, you read it, that we are to submit to our wives as well. What does that mean? How does that work? Well, so how does this work practically? I believe the best way to understand this is to look at an example of a marriage in the Old Testament that is a really well and good model of marriage, the marriage of Sarah and Abraham. First of all, ladies, can you imagine your husband telling some president that you went and visited that, I know she's beautiful, but she's my sister. And then allow that president to take her into his bedroom, and then God shows up and goes, don't touch her, I'll kill you. Now that's our God, right? He shows up, right? He said, don't touch her, I'll kill you. Then he comes to Abraham and goes, man, you dirty dog. Here's your wife back. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you all these camels and all this, and I'll give you this and that. That's how Abraham got rich, you all, through the wife. Did you know that? Through Sarah. Man, she was a catch. She was beautiful. She submitted to him, Abraham, and loved the Lord, and then got the man rich. It was just like, wow. But one of the things that the Pharaoh gave them was a maidservant. Guess what her name was? Hagar. Oh, Hagar. Yeah, Hagar. You guys know who Hagar is? I'll get there in a minute. So Sarah and Abraham, again, looking at an Old Testament story to better illustrate a New Testament principle about marriage. It plays out like this in Genesis 16, at 76 years old, having received a promise from the Lord that they would have a child, Sarah said, listen, Abraham, we're not getting any younger. And so let's help the Lord out a little bit. We can't help that Lord out. But let's help the Lord out a little bit here. Have relations with my handmaid, Hagar, which was much younger, and the child produced will count as ours. How about that? Wow, a little bit. Did God say so? Did God tell Sarah that that was a plan? No, he didn't. And so did Abraham go, wait a minute, Sarah, let's look to the Lord. Let's read the word. Of course, they didn't have the word there, but let's look to the Lord and get a word from God. No, that dirty rascal. He said, okay, all right, cool. It's okay with me. But Abraham hearkened unto the voice of his wife anyway, seen in Genesis 16:2. And a child named Ishmael was born, and the earth has never been the same. However, 13 years later, after the promised child Isaac had indeed come and he was weaned, Sarah said to Abraham, 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 Hagar's son and my son, Isaac, they just can't live together in the same tent. Ishmael's got to go. Abraham, no way. No, he's a good kid. Not like Hagar. But we see in Genesis 21:12 that God declared to Sarah and, more importantly, to Abraham, hearken unto the voice of your wife, God says. Really? How about that? Please keep tracking with me here. Interestingly, when Sarah told him to have relations with Hagar, Abraham submitted to his wife. But no thumbs up by God. No thumbs up. All flesh. But when she told him to deal with Ishmael, he said no, even though God had spoken to her. Now follow my thinking. So Abraham hearkened to his wife in something contrary to God's way the first time, but ignored the voice of his wife when it was actually right in the sight of the Lord the second time. Abraham, you're not doing so good, bro. You're messing up. Now let me explain. It plays out like this. This means that Life Lesson 6 tells us, well, I as a husband, you as a husband, am held responsible by God, held responsible by God for the decisions and direction of our families. We must, I mean we must, not be dictatorial. You know what that means? Don't be a Hitler in our behavior toward our wives. That's not what God would have us do, guys. Guys, there are times when we need to listen to our wives. There are times when we must choose to submit to what she's saying. That's why Ephesians here, Paul says, submitting to one another in the fear of our God. That's a life lesson, by the way. There are times when we must choose to submit to her what she's saying, realizing the Lord can speak through her as well, and the Lord can and does speak through your wives. It's our job to figure that out, to weigh that, and then make the final decision. And if you don't ask her, you don't bring her in, because you two guys are freaking frack. You know, you're a good team. God put you together. And guys, if you're a Hitler, you better get off that. It's important to listen to her. Therefore, because of all what I just said, it is the wise husband who says to his wife, I want to hear your heart and mind on this matter and match it against the word of God. like Abraham didn't. Why? Because I know I am the one who will ultimately be responsible when I get to heaven. The Lord says, look, I gave you a helpmate, a completer, someone that thinks with both sides of their brain, dude, instead of one side, and I'm just saying, and you didn't even tap into that. Didn't use your helpmate, man. It's important to know that. The word submit, by the way, when I facilitate people's marriages, the word submit is this, and I teach it as we're facilitating the marriage. It means coming up underneath someone and filling all their empty holes to make one. Isn't that cool? And I always say this, we all know that us guys got a lot of empty holes. With cheese. We need you to come up underneath us and help us out. We just do. So it's wise that we understand these things. And suddenly, you know, after we know that we need to utilize that helpmate that God's given us, and that we're ultimately held responsible, then suddenly, rather than have justification for me to be a dictator over my wife, instead, it humbles me. It humbles me before the Lord, realizing I am held accountable for the direction of my family. And let's be clear, fellas, we need all the help we can get, don't we? So I leave you with this. Wives, be helpmates. Be cheerleaders. Give input. And then your job's done. Guys, we need to understand that. We need to receive that. We need to sit down and let our wives be helpmates. Check that wisdom out. And choose to recognize what the Lord can do and does in speaking to her as well. Recognizing her as a teammate and a cheerleader. Amen.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.